Hey, good morning. Pastor Rob Danz here. Welcome to kind of a special day here at Antioch Community Church, Wichita. I am joined by two of my favorite people on the face of the earth, Robin and Mike Russell. And Robin and Mike Russell are here to testify today to some pretty powerful things that they've gone through on the journey. And the story today is really about God's goodness in the whatever. And so, you know, a lot of times in life, we would love to have the storybook ending of everything. And for a believer, we do have a storybook ending. It's the scriptures and it's eternal life and it's love. But where's God in the midst of hard times and the things where we question and the whys? It's really a pretty powerful story in their life. And so Mike and Robin, growing up, you know, had good families, loved them, brokenness though, and some past history of just everything from alcoholism and just some busted stuff, and growing up through life, managing that mischief, I would say, the best way to, making some bad decisions in the teen years and early 20 years. And in the middle of this, though, the seed of God running through the whole thing. And even when you seemingly far from God, God's like weaving in the middle of these pretty amazing things. And so God brings you two together here in Wichita. You're a Western Kansas girl. Hee-haw. Rodeo days. Amen. And Mike, you're not. You're a Valley Center kid like the rest of us for the most part. And so God kind of miraculously brings you together through this weird story where you're out on a date with some guy and all this guy does is talk about Mike, which Mike's pretty rad, so I get it. And so through this journey, you guys get married, and God starts to grab your heart. You have this miracle baby, your first baby. You've got five kids, and you have this miracle baby, Logan, because you had some internal things. You weren't really able, supposed to ever have kids the natural way. And then God blesses you with this baby boy. And then from that moment, you're thinking, man, we have got to go to church. You know, it's that whole morality thing. You start having kids, and you're like, oh, I got to figure this out. And so through this, though, you guys go on this amazing journey of fostering and adopting babies, and God really starts to work. And so not only do you just start to with the heart to adopt, but you end up getting through and you end up adopting your first little boy, Seth. And from the beginning, they're telling you he's 11 months old. He's got, there appears to be some developmental disabilities. There's stuff going on with him. And your guys' heart, just because the way you're wired is, we absolutely want him. We love him. And you jumped in there when a lot of people wouldn't have. And so already your character is showing. And then you begin to adopt. And then you adopt this beautiful little boy, August. And through that, you are loving on birth mom, who's a drug addict. She's a hot mess, but you guys are open to her, like just an open book, loving her through the journey. And then she gets pregnant again, and you end up being there for the right after the birth of this little boy in Cade, and he becomes your son, as God always ordained it. And then end up later, you come to adopt this broken yet beautiful little teeny bopper girl that was, which was beautiful and a mess all at the same time. And God is like fostered this heart. And all at the same time, God miraculously leads you to do church with us. Thank God. You guys really class up the place. But you show up with your whirling tornado of chaos, and then you come into the beginning of this church, which was a whirling tornado of chaos, trying to do this. And we just, God makes us family from the beginning. And the thing that I appreciate some of the most about you is your heart to be an open book for people that are broken. And so over the years, you ran with our homeless ministry, you ran with our recovery ministry, and along the way, we learned some really difficult things, like what happens when you give a completely open door to people and just say yes, as you're trying to fill your own voids and trying to honor Jesus with what he really wants for your life. And so you've both done that beautifully and learned some things along the way that were incredibly difficult and incredibly beautiful in the journey. And so over the years, as the church has progressed, what I can say is we've been gloriously beat up for the Lord. YouTube at the front. And for me, you guys have always inspired my heart with how open-ended you can be in even in the midst of turmoil and the other brokenness things of your life, how you guys have engaged and actually been faithful in that. And so these two are enormous parts of our hearts. They're friends, they're brothers, sisters, spiritual kids to me and my wife. We just love them. This is like one of my girls, and Mike's my home dog, one of my guys, and we love them. And today the journey of the story begins in the middle of all this, where, you know, you're adopting these babies, fostering, we're working ministry, we're all getting beat up, and you're faithful. And then in the middle of all that, this word comes to light, and it's cancer. And so in the middle of this, starting in 2015, you get this diagnosis of cancer. And this is kind of where we begin the journey today of you sharing just what God is doing, what he appears to not be doing, and then how do we make sense of all that, and how do we give him glory?
I was talking with somebody through this the other day, and I think just through like all of my infertility stuff, like, you know, my reproductive system was something that I just ignored because it was, you know, it hurt my heart and, you know, and it didn't work anyway. So I'm like, who cares, you know, but come to find out that's when, 2015, the doctor calls me and he's like, you know, you have cervical cancer.
Wow.
It was staged like 1B2 something. So it's like right between 1 and 2, which is honestly, it's kind of where all cervical cancer starts, but it's a very slow moving cancer. Wow. And it's come to find out hard to get rid of. So
right there. So that word cancer hits your heart for the first time, both of you. So Mike, what was the initial so you just find out that your wife has ovarian cancer, like, go, what is that?
So I what I remember is, you know, getting, we had the phone call from the doctor, and, you know, one of the few times, unfortunately, one of the few times that we went directly into prayer, like, you know, just, you know, we know who God is by then. We know who Jesus is. He's the, you know, he's the healer. And we just went right into praying, and that, you know, we asked that he take it from us. And, you know, we just kind of were at an okay spot. Obviously, we didn't know how big it would get. But at that point, you know, we were okay-ish. And, you know, we went, visited the doctor, and we were able to see that, you know, like Robin said, it was low. It wasn't, you know, stage four, you know, end stage cancer. And so then we just kind of went through a couple of scenarios of what we could do. And, you know, we went home and talked about it, prayed about it. And then we, you know, we decided to do the radiation and chemotherapy part of it. So
that was a hard choice, especially off the beginning, but you're hopeful, you know, you see people all the time, they get healed, and God uses the medicine. And so as far as your faith, and so what happens in your faith, and that word comes and you're trying to hold on, and you're trying not to be, you know, so afraid, you know what I mean? That you just kind of lose it a little bit, which rightly everybody does a little bit, you know, what was that part like?
You think about that kind of a little bit, but you're just like powering through.
Yes.
Like and especially the first time, I'm just like, I'm going to do the medicine. It's going to go away and I'm going to be fine.
Yes.
You know, it was not, you know, I can never even say I had cancer. I just couldn't say it.
So it never actually left your mouth.
No.
It was just really. Something you were overcoming.
Yeah. I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when I was sick, and I didn't want it to be anywhere in my identity. Like, I just didn't. And so, I mean, and then that was a really hard time in our church life, too.
Yes.
And so, you know, we were kind of felt like we did a lot of it on our own.
Right.
And it was really, and Sabrina had just left a month before to go back to her biological family.
Wow.
And so,
and that was very
while
hurtful.
That was so hard, that was also God saving me, because he knew I couldn't do her and cancer.
Yes.
But then, like I said, you know, our church was this, like, we were all taken out at the knees at that time of our church life. So
it seems like the spiritual warfare piece, the enemy came against our, in that season, which is, you know, for another day, but it seems like every one of our leadership families, which you guys were, were going through catastrophic things. I mean, catastrophic things. You guys at the tip of the spear. And it was like we were all being taken out. And, and you guys doing that was a huge part of the attack on our church. And it was horrible.
Yeah, it was a horrible season. It was like, and not like you have like, I mean, you see what's going on. You know, you're not like, you're not bitter towards, you know, the people, but you're just like so hurt that like the one time that we need somebody so desperately and like there's just nobody and it's not anybody's fault,
right?
But it was just
everybody was dealing with their own
thing. And it was I mean, we're drowning. You know, we've got these four boys that, you know, are I think Logue was a freshman maybe. And then
they're worried about mom, obviously.
You know, Logan knew what was going on, and the other boys, we just kind of like, we just kind of always have kept it kind of surfacey. And then we let them kind of dig where they're going to dig and and just try to keep things as normal as we've ever been able to. Yeah, that was, you know, just, you know, double everything, because you hurt so bad for your friends that are going through these terrible things. But then you feel selfish because you're like, what about me?
Right.
You know? And,
and some of that's rightly so. You know, you need to get loved on through stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, I did chemo radiation and then like some very intensive radiation. And that treatment was done in about 6 or 8 weeks. And I was healed.
So here you are. That's the first time comes and you feel like you've knocked it out.
Yeah.
You took the treatment.
I've lived in denial well enough that it never happened. And
and that was over. That you got through that. It was another tough spot, but you guys came through it like lions. And
well,
in that time, hindsight maybe is a little different.
Yeah, but, no, it definitely was very, like, I mean, like hormonally, it threw me, you know, directly into menopause, and I was. And that's when hormones hit, and it was, that was a very hard, hard, you know, thing. And just then finally kind of getting that leveled out. And
the phone rings again.
Well, not really.
Oh, the doctor came. That's right. Nick came to your door.
Yeah, because God told me to go to Indonesia. And through that, I start going, you know, I'm like, well, I better get this stuff checked out because I don't want to go to third world country and
you called us on our way back from youth missions trip when we were in St. Louis.
And well, I was having problems and I was having pain, and so I had my appendix out, and then they find I have cancer in my appendix, and Dr. Nick comes to our house, and again I'm just like, oh, come on over. I don't even think about why would your doctor be coming over at 7 o'clock at night to come visit you.
And so scary for us is that we, during that time when he was coming to your house, someone called me and told me he was coming to your house. Mm-hmm. And I went, not necessarily knowing, but I was like, oh, nibbies.
Yeah.
And so because I think he was looking for you or something happened. Yeah. So we're here. I'm in worship team practice.
Yeah.
And I'm playing and I get that text message and I don't even remember how, but I knew he was going to your house.
Yeah.
And in that journey, I remember going, oh, sweet Jesus. And I started praying right there. There's a group of us in there and didn't know what was coming.
Yeah.
Nick comes to your house and he tells you now you have cancer in, what was it again?
Well, they had removed my appendix.
Appendix.
I had cancer in my appendix, and then I had some, well, and so that's all we knew, really, basically.
Right.
And so, you know, we just needed to do more testing and see where it was and stuff. And so I just remember, okay, here we go again. You know, I wasn't, and that's why I was, you know, like the first two times, I was just like, you know, we're going to do it and I'll be fine. And I was never really like, I don't know, like thrown over. Oh,
didn't
my God,
feel
I have
like,
cancer.
This,
you know,
is
like,
it. This is the end.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like ready to battle, I guess, you know, and I just didn't feel like I was going to be, I just always felt like I was going to be okay.
So I remember that completely different. when Nick was, he walked two steps into the door and started crying.
Yes, he did.
And our doctor, a friend of ours, was a part of our church family.
Yeah.
And so he walks in the door and starts weeping, and you go, oh, yeah, this is probably not the best case scenario.
Are you okay?
How can we minister to you?
Right. So I got punched in the gut.
So you hear that again. Here you are, husband. You're like, man, we're out of that. We're trying to concentrate, fixing this other stuff, healing, moving back. And then you hear that again.
Yeah.
So what just for you, Mike, like what was that night like? I mean, there are some really cool things that happened that night. Yeah. But at that moment, like what's your gut? Like what are you feeling?
I mean, why?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, we just went through all that.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that again.
No, absolutely.
Who wants to do that again? No. Yeah. Yeah, so I think, Nick prayed for us, and I couldn't get over, man, why?
Right.
You know, so I think that's when I texted you and said, hey, it's back.
And that was that was devastating for y'all and for us as your family. And I feel like the times that you've had cancer have all taken on a different situation with family. So the first time you go through cancer, the rest of us are beat up and we didn't do a very good job holding each other through the whole thing. Round two comes and I feel like the church, I think a lot of things were healed. But I also think we took notice, a lot of people in the church took notice of like, oh, we really need to get in there more. And then, and we talk about the next coming time, then there was a whole different scenario. And so that night, though, there's a huge testimony.
Man.
One of my favorite things ever, time of worship, is you call me, tell me that Nick's told you the cancer's back. We drop everything we're doing on the worship team, every one of us, and we run over to your house.
Right.
And in the middle of that, it's probably 30 people end up in your living room that night. You just have this cancer diagnosis. I'm doing the annoying, we're going to do this with hope, pastor spiel, you know what I mean, that you want to hear, need to hear, but you don't want to hear at that time. And then all of a sudden, we break out in worship and prayer.
Right.
And that turned out to be one of the most amazing nights of just explosive, not purposefully formed worship. It just happened. And I remember bawling, sitting there in the midst of that, because the hope rose in the room, and like God's presence was there in such a big way. What was that? Was that help? Like, what did that do in your spirit that night when we sat there and worshiped in your living room?
I just remember standing there and I was like, I think I was just like smiling, and I was sitting there. I was just like, okay. And,
weirdo.
but just smiling and thinking about, this. Here we go. I don't want to do it.
Right.
But then just how amazing that, we have all these people and that we have, Jesus for sure. And there's no doubt that, God met us for sure that night. And you try to explain it to people, and I don't even think we can ever adequately explain what that was.
Absolute presence of God.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Bringing healing, hope. And so the journey takes a turn. And so just to move through, before this cancer diagnosis happened, the reason you went to the doctor was trying to get stuff fixed in your appendix and all that stuff. It comes up, but you were doing that because we were going overseas to the nations, going to Indonesia, and you felt like the Lord said, you're going on this trip. And so after that, here we are with this cancer diagnosis, and I think that most of us were going, well, okay, Robin's probably going to stay home. She's got cancer, and all of a sudden, then we start to have some dialogue, and you're essentially what? You're kind of like, I think I'm still supposed to do this. So share that just real quick. What was that like? What was he speaking to you?
I mean, God just never told me not to go. And when I had no desire ever in a million years to go overseas, you send me to South Dallas, I'm there. But I don't want to go overseas. Like, what am I going to do there? But we were at World Mandate, and all I can explain it is like the Holy Spirit blew through me and I heard God say, go so you can stay. And I didn't know what that meant. And I remember I came and told you, I said, I think I'm maybe supposed to go on the mission trip. And you started laughing at me. And so I was like, okay, I mean, that's the only thing I can figure out. But I mean, if I hadn't had, you know, I'd had this pain for a long time, but I just, you know, I'm like, whatever, it's fine. It just happens. And, you know, and so, but if we hadn't been going, I wouldn't have like examined it as much as I did. And as far as like when you, I mean, all they do is pap smears after treatment. Like they don't do CAT scans. They don't, unless you have problems.
Really?
And so they, it would have been, or could have been a lot worse if I had waited a lot longer.
Wow.
So that was April. So I start chemo and then I get like, I get septic from an infection and have to have my port pulled and I have to have a PICC line. I have to have IV antibiotics. They had to like leave my wound open because it was so bad and I had to pack it with this junk and it was just, it was terrible.
So you were really sick.
So I was really sick, but I still didn't ever hear God telling me to stay home.
So the key to this is, I think is kosher is, I don't know if kosher is the right word. I don't know why I say kosher, but the beautiful thing about that is God called you to something and this enormous speed bump comes and through it all, your heart in that one, it just shows the testimony of how God's been building you is you never heard God say don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so most people would think, here you go. You're, I don't even know what stage your cancer was at that time or what you would call it.
They keep it like, they never restage you. They just call it metastasized.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm still the same, but I have metastasized cervical cancer.
So here you are. Yeah. And which was good because you gave me an excuse not to have to go everywhere all the younger people were going in Indonesia. And so So you and I, here we are, we're picking up prayer. You're in Indonesia. And so so here you are. I mean, people, you're totally bald.
Yeah.
You don't have any hair on your head from chemo. Large. You're wearing your bandanas.
Yeah.
And but I mean, you look stylish. I gotta say. So you hear you and I are walking through meat markets in this messed up town in Indonesia and God's there. We have to stop because you get tired and drink, but we're praying and all these things. So what did God do? As you said, yes. Even with such horrible circumstances, seemingly, and you said yes to that, what did God do in the middle of that in you?
You know, like I've thought through this so many times because I'm like, I don't feel like I was like this huge asset to the team or did anything. Like I felt like, quiet. Honestly, I felt like it was a gift from God to me to be able to go and to see. And be part of it and just to, like see the beauty of what we got to see. And I mean, I know we don't like to ever do, you know, vacation missionary work, but you know, I think that was just part of it, was just like God was like just giving me this huge gift.
Wow.
And
that's so good.
You know,
and you did try an
to
awesome
pray
job.
Through it. And gosh, I just still remember, was his name Jordan? And I just even still like to this day, I'm just like, I just, like he showed me so much. We were talking and we would talk about somebody and he'd like ask all these details. And then you kind of start talking about something else. And he's like, no, he'd drop on his face and just start praying for the, you know, and it was not even, oh, you know, I'll pray for you. Like it was that second.
That's
and
awesome.
He's on his face. And like, he did that for me, which, you know, I don't, you know, I'm just like, I don't want anybody to notice me as I'm like a large, white, bald woman walking around Indonesia.
You weren't noticeable
Nobody
at all.
Nobody will ever. I fit right in.
And so was, you go, super proud of you. You killed it. By the way, you did do a lot as far as inspiring people and your testimony in Indonesia to those folks. And why would this crazy white woman with cancer come all the way over here to love me with the love of Jesus? I mean, that was profound. And that was a big inspiration to so many of us. And so you get through that and the cancer diagnosis goes away again. You're healed.
I'm healed. There
you
go.
Amen. And so that, how did you feel coming out? So that's two rounds of dealing with this ridiculousness of cancer.
I mean, really that time I was just like, because I did three rounds and then we went and I came back and did another three. You know, but it was just one of those things you just did and you had to do. And I got through it and
you got her done.
And I felt like I was going to be fine. And there we go.
So, end of round two, healed up. You guys have tons of other stuff going on in life, trying to find a house and all this spiritual warfare still going on, but you're free of cancer, pretty tired and beat up after the second round. Mm-hmm. And then again, for a third time, something happens and diagnosed again with cancer. And where was the cancer this time?
Well, the cancer this time is like pretty much my whole entire abdomen.
So it's spread all over inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a clear CAT scan at the end of October. And then the end of February, I was having some problems with my blood pressure and go in and they start finding all these blood clots. And they're like, well, you know, this just doesn't usually happen. And sometimes it's like with cancer. And I mean, they kept saying that to me, but I didn't like latch onto it as like, that's what they were trying to tell me. So from a clear CAT scan the end of October to being like pretty much completely cancer filled at the end of February is how fast it grew. Mm-hmm. And so at that point they were just like, so it's in my ovaries, it's in my uterus, but it's hard to tell because of all the radiation, everything's kind of jumbled.
You got scars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the lining of your stomach and your abdomen, it's called the para something. Anyway, it like makes your organs move smooth and stuff. That is completely with cancer. Mm. And then I have something pushing on my bladder and my kidney, which is a tumor or something. And that's what's always has been causing me the most problems. So they just say there's not really any hope. You should just probably go home.
Wow.
And I said, well, we're not going to do that because I don't just go home.
Right.
So we started chemo again. But through that, like I said, I had this stent in my ureter that got infected or something. And so I go through a really bad time of just sepsis and infections. And I was in the hospital a lot.
So you're doing cancer for this third time in COVID.
Yeah.
This is different. First season was what it was. Second season, the church was there. And the third season, the church could not be there in person.
Right.
Now, obviously, you've had people loving on you and Zooms. Like, God bless Zooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so in that, this whole trip you've been on through cancer, so this is the third time. You come into, you know, you're probably exhausted. You're holding on to the Lord. You're trying to get better. And the doctors tell you, go home. What do you do? I mean, obviously, we can imagine somewhat of what you're feeling, but how do you start to process that? And how do you start to engage that in faith? Because that in itself is a good fight of faith, just to have to deal with the what ifs now, right? What does that look like?
Like I said, you know, the first two times I was like, you know, I'm going to be fine. And this time I was like, I think crap just got real, you know, and I knew it was going to be hard. And I had said after the second time, I'm like, I'll never do chemo again. But then when you do it, I mean, you have to do it.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they say, my doctor says, you know, your body just can't do this anymore. And I believed her because I knew my body could not do this anymore. Yeah. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the chemo is going to kill me before cancer would. And what good is that? So I stopped. And then we started palliative care, which I think is just an easy word to like transition
before
you into
hospice.
Yeah. Just, yeah. It's
it's the kid gloves.
Yeah.
Right?
So you know that's where you're going, but that just gives it a little bit easier. But since then, I mean, and so yeah, God and all of that, I mean, gosh, he's just, I can't even explain it.
We would love to have these videos and these testimonies to where, wow, she's gone through cancer three times and now she's miraculously healed. God is good. Mm-hmm. You know, praise God. That's our testimony. But we know sometimes that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not the answer.
Yeah.
And that is a part of the place we're in. And there comes a place where we long and desire for God to heal. And we believe that God always heals. We just don't get to dictate which side of heaven that's on. And I know there's been people in the past, and you know, we don't speak too much about this, but people will say, hey, you know, especially people with good intentions, with bad theology, will say, hey, if you just had more faith, Robin, you would be healed. What is your response to that? What does that do in a person that's full of faith, trying to grapple with that in your head?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for one thing, you just have grace because people don't understand. You know, we have the Lifetime movie, you know, cancer stories of what people think it's like, you know, and they're not, you know, the ones that are, you know, cleaning up my puke and, you know, taking me to the hospital and, you know, doing all the things that, you know, Michael's done for me. To me, I just think it's a bunch of baloney. And if that's what you want to believe for yourself, you can keep it there. But I know what I believe, and I know where my God is. And I mean, I pray they never get to the point where they have to decide that for themselves.
Yes.
Because that's a very hard, you know, conversation to have with yourself. Like,
absolutely.
You know, especially when you've laid in bed for 8 months, like, examining everything you've ever done in your life and, you know, waiting for chimes to ring or something. You know, the spring was very, very hard just thinking about it. Like, there's a different mindset when you're like,
yeah, it's like you take a turn at some point.
Well, when you're thinking about heaven as heaven,
yes,
and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go to heaven someday, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go to heaven maybe tomorrow, or, you know, I'm going to heaven soon. It takes your mind a minute to adjust to that.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Yeah. It's so weird because we talk about this for so long, but there's always a day of reckoning where what we believe, we really get called to the mat, because all of us at one point or another are heading here.
Yeah.
You're heading there in seemingly, you know, we still believe in the healing of God.
Yeah.
He can do anything.
Absolutely.
He can raise Lazarus. That we're not faithless in that. There's also faith in the reality of what God chooses and what he doesn't choose. And we have to, it's the whole, even if he doesn't, you know, it's the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thing where, you know, hey, if you, you know, we, if our God, even if our God doesn't, he's still good.
Yeah.
And tell me how is, so let me, that's a good question. How on earth can you say that God is good in the situation for both of you where there's a very outward-lying real possibility that Jesus might call you home soon?
That's what you've practiced for all this time, you know? It's like, it's just when, that's when you, your feet get, I guess, held to the fire, which is funny because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has, like, been through all of my cancer. Little intern in Indonesia wrote me a song that was, there's a fourth man in the fire.
Wow.
And sang that to me. And then stinking Noah.
Our son wrote her song.
Wrote me a song that had that in it too. Yeah, and then there's kind of a popular song now that is, that has the whole saint theme.
Brother
that's
the
just
fire.
Been, you know, so that's been kind of like, you know, and every time I have cancer, I have like my theme song, you know.
That's why the tiger was like first one or something like that.
Totally. It is. It's like we've been practicing on what we're gonna do for, you know, 45 years of, you know, starting Sunday school, and then, you know, and it's when it's all comes together and you pray it comes together, right? And it doesn't, but, you know, thankfully God has grace for us in that. And
yeah, so there is grace. So if, you know, people dealing with cancer, if being a Christian and going through cancer or any kind of terminal diagnosis is you're just shiny, happy people and you're not battling with, that's not faith. That's just like this plastic, oh, you know, it was just plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, of course you have, God, where are you? And
how
come? And, you know, what about my kids? And what about, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
When you turn the corner on the reality of the heaven thing is very real, But talk about it from the other side of the testimony of, we always talk about God being with us and holding us in the presence of God. That takes a turn too, though, when you come into this scenario where you know that's real, and those phrases, God is with me, it has to take on like a whole other weight, does it? I mean, how has he been with you, holding both of you through this scenario?
Oh my gosh.
Let me start.
You go. Okay.
when we got there, okay, so you were in the hospital, and what they told you, I wasn't there when they told her this time. let's see, I came up and we had like a really good conversation, and you know, these should be a like ridiculously hard conversation. Well, it wasn't that hard. You know?
And you just walked in, and thankfully Andy and Heidi were there, and then my Logan.
Yeah, Logan.
He just got ambushed with it. But this came out of who's
hands. He came and held your hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, can you give me a warning here? Because the doctor comes in and he's like, can I talk freely? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's talk freely about like my hemoglobin A1C or whatever. But no, he says, hey, you have cancer. And I just ran to look at him. And he's not even there. So anyways.
I think I had to get the boys ready for school or something.
I don't know. I call him. I'm like, you need to come back now. Yeah. And comes back, and I'm just like, it's back. We're just gonna do it again. That's it. I mean, and there's a couple times I'm just like, send him home and like go put the boys to bed and come back and just lay in bed together. I'm just like, why would he give us all of this finally? Like, our house is just coming together. Like, our lives feel like it's like finally coming together, and like why is this all coming together, and God blessing us with all this stuff just to take it away. Mm-hmm. And our kids, I'm like, why did he give us our kids and then you know take me away halfway through stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, like we say, God's the kind God and he loves us, but you know, it doesn't feel very kind at that moment. Yeah. But I mean, thankfully, through my second time, I've always felt like God was pretty far away from me. And God just gave me Abba Father. Mm-hmm. And so I had really like got to the point that I believed he was my Abba Father.
And so Abba's that term of endearment, daddy, it's a semblance, which you've battled with that.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've walked through that a lot over the years. So you felt like in the middle of all this, the thing that he gave you was he's daddy. He's not just a father as in a figure, but he's daddy as close.
Yes.
And he's been close to you even in the times when, even maybe when you're angry.
Yeah.
And so, Mike, you were starting to say, like, as a husband, here you are, you walk into this room, this bomb goes off. And you hear those words again, and you know, what is it? And especially as it's turned the corner to things where stopping treatment of that, what on earth's going on in your heart, and what's happening with you and the Lord in the middle of this? Because that's such a difficult place to be.
To be completely honest, not just, you know, the sucks level, you know, but he has just made this one, I'm lacking a term, but easier. I don't, I mean, there's all kinds of new stuff happening. I mean, medical equipment, hospice, all this stuff. And it just, okay, you know. Because we know where we're going, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think we talked the other day. People make me cry. I think we talked about the other day. So we round the corner here. This is, it sucks to have these conversations, but thank God we can have them. Mm-hmm. And imagine, yeah. You know, imagine where this would be without him. Imagine going through these times of, man. You know, and that's the promises. God's promises are not a fulfilled life that we think it is. Yeah. It's not money and gains and all those things. And he blesses yeah. people, but no, it's his presence. It's his, yeah. it's his hope that comes through Jesus. And it's not for a long in a life. And the, I mean, people get so off base, but it's his goodness. It's his presence with us. It's the fullness of what he gives us. And that we don't get to dictate the scenario. We wish we could. And I wish I could dictate yeah. the scenario for you.
Yeah. Right.
But in the end, here's the thing is we get to have these conversations of faith that even if he doesn't, he's still good because yes. in the moment we close our eyes, he's there.
Yeah.
In the moment the people we love close their eyes, he's with us. He carries us. He carries your kids and your husband carries yeah. you. By the way, that moment we've talked about for so long that when we close our eyes on earth for the last time and then open them again and in glory. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's so real. And it's man. Not a weak crutch for morally bankrupt people. It is the truth and the power of heaven that regardless of when our breath is last here, our eternal breath is always with him. And we and we'll and imagine our stupid 1,042 and a half years from now statement of where yeah. we will be in this yeah. with him is together, is free.
That's right.
Cancer's gone, heartache's gone, mm-hmm. you know. I remember a verse. I think it was 1 Peter 5:10. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Wow. I think I have that one. These are the things that I remember.
So meaningful things you get tattooed on your person.
There you
but
go.
Our verse that we founded this church on, which is truer now than it ever has been for us, is the God of all grace who calls you to his eternal glory mm-hmm. through Christ Jesus, that after you have suffered a little while, he mm-hmm. himself will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Yeah. Think about that. In the middle of this, people think we're weird because we laugh and joke about, like, we're on an airplane going to Indonesia, and Robin's like, I think I'm going to pull the cancer card to see if I can get an upgrade on my seat.
Like, know, can like, I tell him it's my make-a-wish trip?
It's your make-a-wish trip. I mean, just to think about that, it seems so absurd. But the truth is, heaven is our home.
Yeah.
He is our hope. And you guys, I just want to say this as an encouragement. Through thick and thin and the hard days and the good days, you are such an inspiration of people in faith. And I don't know where God's taken this, but you've just inspired so many people with your testimony, a messy testimony, which is a real testimony. It's not polished. It's not perfect, but God is in the midst. And the way you are testifying and glorifying him through hellacious things is a testimony to what he's done in you. And we're just so proud of you both. Mm-hmm. And so proud of your family. We are your family. You are our family. And I just can't tell you enough of how you've stirred the hearts of so many people in this journey. And looking forward, as we move forward, you know, two last things. Number one, what is the biggest thing that you've learned, both of you learned from about him in the middle of a, even when he doesn't seem to do the things that we ask about the fire. What have you learned the most?
Like, how could you do this without God? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, you know, I think it's just shown me that, you know, just like us as parents, we want our kids to have all the good gifts and the Disneyland things, but that's just not how it works out. But, you know, I think just how big God is and mm-hmm. and just how much even like these just the most minute things that he has put together and like you just turn around and you're like, okay, thanks God, you know, like mm-hmm. I mean, I just can't even like, you know, he still gives us good gifts even in the fire, you know, like you don't want this to be for nothing. I want somebody to know Christ because, you know, mm-hmm. we were faithful
yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, it's brought my parents and my brother and sister and I, you know, a lot closer. And, you know, that's been our relationship for a long time. And yeah. So thankful for that. And, you know, just, you know, praying that, you know, our boys just take it and don't use it as, you know, we've even through other stuff, you know, we never want our kids to be victims. We want them to be victors.
Like, that's right.
You know, Jen said to me, but so what do you think? Because my brain is.
So I can't even put a number on it, but how many times people have, you know, from all, whether it's work or social media, outer spaceville, how do you deal with your wife, you know, actively dying, you know? And my answer is always the same, just like Robin's, you know, just like, man, if I didn't have God, I'd be a mess, you know? But since, you know, we do have God, mm-hmm. you know, we know that He is full of grace and sovereign over everything. And, you know, that means He can make us sick when He wants to, and we can't control it. We can only, you know, press into Him and, you know, ask Him to heal. And, you know, like you always say, you know, maybe that healing comes on earth and maybe it comes after earth, you know. So, just keeping that always on the forefront of my mind, you know.
So last thing, I just want you to look there, if you can. And last thing, if you got any, you know, if your brain power is still going, I know you've done a good job. Share your heart just mm-hmm. about what is it that you want to share with them?
Number one, like, I'm not dying tomorrow, people.
That's right.
Like, hospice does not mean that, like, I have one foot on a banana peel here.
Amen.
Like, everybody thinks I'm, like, buried it in the... like, no. Honestly, it's been the biggest blessing mm-hmm. to us through any of this. You know, it's taken a lot of weight off of his shoulders. And,
yeah.
Anyway, so that's one thing I want to say, because everybody thinks I'm, like...
half in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Any more than any of us know that we're going to die tomorrow. But, I mean, the biggest thing through all of this is just, like, how much stuff doesn't matter. Like, what we fight about, politics, social things, you know, the color of your nail polish, whatever, it doesn't matter. And, like, we spend so much time on, you know, trying to make our point come across, or try to, you know, make, you know, people see things our way. Mm-hmm. You know what? Like, you need to see things your own way, and, you know, Jesus' way, and that's between you guys, but it, oh my gosh, just, it doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't. I just can't even say it enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I stop with the boys all the time now, and I'm like, doesn't matter that, you know, Seth took an extra 14 Twinkies, maybe, but it doesn't matter, you know. And then, you know, there's always, I feel like maybe, you know, you're always going to have regrets about things, I think, that you wish that you have done differently. And I certainly, you know, feel that way now. But, you know, if there's stuff that, you know, is godly and what you're supposed to, you know that you've, you know, tested it, whatever.
And, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, just don't have those regrets that, you know, like, I could be regretting that I got scared and I stayed home and didn't see a volcano erupt.
Right.
You know, yeah. Or didn't
gone on a mission trip.
Gone over a mountain, saw monkeys and, you know, just things like that that, you know, just don't have those regrets of what you want to do. And then I think the last thing, just tell people you love them. That's it. I just, people don't even know. I'm just like, I care about you. Yeah. Like, just want people to know that they're cared about and that I love them. And like, even last night, there's a lady from a school that I worked at, and she's kind of basically has the same cancer I do. And she's going through chemo again, and we just kind of encourage each other. And oh gosh, she's probably like, I don't know, 50s, 60s, older Black lady. Love her so much, Miss Webb, and she loves my boys. And she said last night, because, you know, she's doing chemo again, and, you know, I was just like, I know how you feel, and I know you're so tired. And, you know, I'm like, I pray for you, sister. And she said, I look at your picture every day, and I put my finger on your picture, and I pray for you. And I'm like, I want to be that person, too, that I'm in the middle of, you know, hell, because chemo is hell. And, you know, I want to be that person that I'm not thinking about myself, that, you know, I still, you know, care about, you know, those around me. And I just think it's just so important to say it and tell people. And so, yes, I'm the crazy lady on Facebook telling everybody I love them, but I don't care.
So. Well, I like it.